Wednesday, the 16th of February 2011, was the evening we had set for the annual general meeting of Pure Heritage Trust. However, before we got underway on the Trust business, Jennifer Lees kindly talked to us on the subject entitled Of Course You Can't Print This, which was a reporter's memoirs of her times on the various papers around the island. Jennifer is the widow of the late Eddie Lees, who we all remember and loved so well. We begin with Jennifer starting to tell us about her time when she began to be a reporter.
I'd always wanted to write, but my mother didn't think I'd make much of it. She steered me towards teaching. But I really had always wanted to write. She used to say, oh, you and words. But words have served me very well, as it's happened. So I enjoyed teaching, but it wasn't what I really wanted. So after I'd retired, I retired as one of my own children. I said I've had enough trouble with other people's children. No, I retired to have my children. Didn't want to go back. I said I've had so much trouble with my own, I wouldn't want anybody else. I don't mean that in a nasty way, but anyway. So I took a course in writing, and you were supposed to, as a correspondence course, you were supposed to earn while you were learning, and you were supposed to sell it, and the tutor would send things back and say, I recommend you send this so-and-so and so-and-so and so-and-so, because I thought we'd be marvellous knowing the markets, you know, somebody who knew the markets. Didn't sell a thing. Not a thing. I managed to get one piece in the Star, it was a local interest one, it was Jenny Anderson going to the Munich Olympics, and it made a good story. But of course, they don't pay outsiders. And my tutor was very disgusted. She said, most newspapers have a few coppers left for people from outside, but not our lot. So anyway, I pretty well given up by this stage. And they said, would you like to extend the course? I said, no, thank you. It's obviously just throwing good money after bad. But just after that, my friend over there, Emily, retired and was kind enough to recommend me. And I started, and I just loved it from the minute I started. I started in 1979, I think it was, and I just loved it. So I typed my copy, and this was days before they had the computer system, much easier. And it was really quite hilarious getting my copy into Douglas. I had to send it 3 times a week by bus. Now, it couldn't be handed in as an envelope, you know, which is only sometimes very thin. It had to be a box. So my sort of thing in life was collecting boxes, and I had to get on the bus, pay the fare for the copy, and hand over this box. Apparently, if you sent it in an envelope, it was a rival to the post office, so you weren't allowed to do that. So I trotted off down to the bus stop 3 times a week with my little box. And then, of course, they were supposed to take it off the other end. They didn't always remember. And sometimes it would ride backwards and forwards. And one time, they actually went on strike at Crosby, and my copy sat there all day. It was quite hilarious, really. Then later on, Richard Parslow joined the staff, and he used to pick it up for me, so that was nice. But then we went on later to computers. Oh, dear. I'm still having trouble, aren't I, Vic, wherever you are? and I kept changing the systems, you know, and if you're not. And the other districts said to me one time, I remember, get a child, they'll show you. And it's true, it's absolutely true. So, of course, I was based in Peel, but, of course, I had, I extended to Moraun, Glenmaid, Dalby, Kirkmichael, anywhere would have me. And I was always made very welcome. I still am when I go back, which is lovely. Wonderful district, absolutely marvellous. And so interesting. So many things. Public meetings. We don't have the wonderful public meetings we used to have. I think they've tamed down a bit. We used to have some fantastic, especially in St John's and Foxdale. Fascinating public meetings, really fiery. And there were teas and coffee mornings. I think there was only one thing that I didn't really like doing, and that was the princess selections, you know, for the, you know, the carnival princess and the pot. And I mean, the kids loved it. I never encouraged mine to go in for it. And then, thank goodness, I never wanted to, because it used to be so you shouldn't break my heart when you saw the ones who hadn't. And they're all lovely, you know, and it was just awful to see the failures sort of stripping off the stage. It was sometimes there were tears, and I didn't like that. That's the only thing I didn't like. But I just loved everything else. There were fairs, and a fair reminds me of a rather interesting thing that used to happen. In the days of Mr. Dawe, some people who offended him were banned, you see. But they never gave you a list. You mustn't mention so-and-so. They would just cut them out. And there was a fair here in this room when it wasn't like this. And it was opened by Louise Quirk. And nobody gave me any warning, so I wrote my usual piece. And when it came out, it had the beginning and the end. And there was no opening, no Louise. So I rang up and said, "What the shouldn't you playing at?" "Oh, we don't mention her. I'm not allowed to." So I really did play war over that. And I actually did get an apology for that one. I said, "She opened the fair." "You can't do that. You just can't." And there was a man, I can't remember who it was now, but I wrote a big long article, was having spent a lot of time. "Nobody warns you. Sent it in. Oh, we can't print that." "Why not?" "We're not allowed to mention it." That was Mr. Dawe personally. He was an odd bod. I only met him once or twice, but he was a very odd bod. And so I had three papers then, the Examiner, the Times, and the Star. So I thought I would write to my tutor and say, "I have now got 6 pages a week to do." She wrote back absolutely smuckraffled at this ignorant woman who'd never sold anything and said, "To have 1 page is good, but to have 6, you know." I was quite pleased, actually. I mean, of course, it was only a little local paper. It wasn't the kind of things we were thinking out in the beginning. I was very lucky to have 2 very good places in my constituency, but no, it's not my constituency, the Cathedral and QE2. And, of course, there was the opening of the QE2, there was the hollowing of the Cathedral, they were all big highlights. And the QE2 opened, I think it was the year before, and that first Christmas, because there's no lighting up to QE2 from our house. It stopped just there, and then it was no lighting at all. And Fred and I, when going up to a Christmas do, I can remember us staggering up there and staggering back, holding on to each other, because you couldn't see a thing. You couldn't see a hand in front of your face. It was really funny. But there were so many interesting people to meet. There was one couple who... I used to just meet people down by the harbour, and they were going... They'd sold everything up, and they were going to go sailing around the world. And they were a middle-aged couple, sold their house, you know, and it was so exciting, and they promised they'd come back and tell us what happened to them. But they didn't. So I'd often wondered what happened to them, because they're really, they were very interesting. I'd love to have known what happened to them. They gambled a lot on that. Then, of course, there was local government commissioners. I was the most appallingly ignorant person when I started this job. I didn't know anything at all about local government. And I owe my education entirely to Carol Little, who used to spend hours on the phone with me, educating me. She was very, very good. She told me all about all these ins and outs of local government, and she was most patient. I owe her a lot. Then, of course, I did the courts, and that got me into some really funny incidents sometimes. I actually, one day, ended up in the witness box, because it was Jack, of course you all know Jack Irving, and he had a lovely dog called Brint, who was as gentle as a lamb, and this dog had... some prosecutions would never be brought. And this dog had jumped up on somebody, a girl, who was terrified. But it wasn't a vicious attack. The girl's carrying a bag of pies, you see. And Brint was a rescue dog who, you know... I had a rescue dog once who was a terrible thief. And my vet said, once the dog's been starved, he'll go for anything. You know, he may not eat his own dinner, but he'll pinch it. So poor Brint had jumped up on this girl. And she'd gone to police complain, and they were stupid enough to prosecute, and it was stupid, to prosecute. So there we were in court. There was poor Jack in the dock, me fortunately on my own in the press box, so I wouldn't have got away with it. And another sergeant, another lease prosecuting. That's the thing about a lot of the police did their own prosecuting, and I used to think it was very stupid, really, because some of them were wonderful. I mean, a certain sergeant we had was a marvellous prosecutor, brilliant, better than any advocate. But some were very poor at it. Anyway, Sergeant Lees was quite good, but she hadn't got a chance on this day, because Weldon Williams said to Jack, "Haven't you got any witnesses?" He said, "No. No advocate, no. No one to speak for you, no. Well, doesn't anybody, can't you think of anybody who knows your dog?" He said, something. Yes, Mrs. Leach knows my dog. As I tried to slide down into the... Weldon said to me, do you? I said, yes. Well, will you help him? I said, all right, in you go. So into the witness box I went. And, of course, the case was dismissed. I felt awful for poor Dad and Leach, but it was a ridiculous case. It was just silly. And no, there were many cases that were brought that shouldn't have been brought. School ones, where I used to feel very strongly about those. A theft at QE2. Somebody pinched somebody else's purse. It was a very underprivileged girl. It was all sorted out at school. It could all have been sorted out at school. But, of course, the person whose purse was pinched, the father decided he'd bring a case, which was most unfair. I never do things like that, I don't think. And then there was one from King William's College where there'd been a little bit of a fracas in the handcrafts class, and one boy had stabbed another with a penknife. It wasn't very serious. And there again, that was and could have been all sorted out at school, but of course it wasn't. It was brought to court. It was a case. And it took all day, actually. And the person who was usually a clerk to the court, the normal one, the sensible one, was on holiday. And we had somebody from the south of the island. And at when we finished at lunchtime, he came up to me and he said, I don't think you ought to come back this afternoon, and I don't think you ought to report this. I said, why not? Well, it doesn't look very nice for King William's College, does it? You know, it's not. So I thought, so I went back after dinner, and I got there early and got hold of the prosecuting sergeant and told him, and he said, my goodness, you report every word. That's not on. One of the first cases I did was very upsetting, really, because there weren't... I think we were harder here on drugs than they were in England. I think we were, you know, very hard at the beginning. And this young girl was here for TT week, and she was only about the age of my own kids. And she only had a little tiny bit of cannabis on her, but she was given so many days. And of course, I don't know how many, most of you, I'm sure, know the courthouse where the stairs are in the middle. If Weldon Williams used to be very cross with the defendant, send him downstairs, get him, take him down. And this poor girl was taken downstairs in tears. Oh, it was awful, it really was, it was horrible. But I did enjoy a good challenge, you know. I mean, there you say you had a road traffic accident, not a serious, you know, just a simple road traffic accident, and you might have four people who all took the oath. Two on one side, two on the other. They'd all taken the oath. Two were lying blind. Which was it, you know? And I used to sit there thinking, I wonder if Mr. Williams or the magistrate will agree with me. You know, I used to work it out. And the press box sort of backed onto the corridor. And often as I was sitting there waiting for the verdict, I could hear Weldon Williams going up and down the corridor saying, if I do so, so, and on the other hand. I could never quite hear what he was going to do, but I was fascinated by this, because he used to solve it by walking up and down. And it was really interesting. But another case was a very interesting one, I thought. We had a young... I don't know if you know, I didn't, that if you take a learner driver out and the learner driver has an accident, you are prosecuted. That is very hard. I mean, what can you do? You have a dual control. And one young man had taken somebody out, and it was just round before you come round to the switchback road on that corner, and the young fellow had turned the car over. They weren't hurt, fortunately. So he... This young man was in the dock and pleaded not guilty. And afterwards he came up to me and he said, I'd be very obliged if you wouldn't report this yet. Because he said, when I win, and I shall win, he said, I'm quite happy for it to go in the paper. But he said, my family don't know about it. So I thought about it and I said, well, I'm the only one in today, so you're lucky, you're right. But I said, if you're guilty, you know, guilty or innocent, it goes in. Yes, that's fair enough. So he arrived up for the do with his hearing with his little penguin book of law, you know, and he won. It was very, very good. He got off. But, I mean, it's an awfully frightening thing, isn't it? Kind enough to take somebody out. I mean, they do something. If you haven't got dual control, you know, that's it. What do you do? And we had some good laughs because I was in court one day with a young man from another paper, and we had a character standing in... I can't remember what he was there for. And he said... It all stuck in my mind. He said, now, if I told you that, You wouldn't believe it. Like if I told you that Joan of Arc was down on the breakwater wanting a cup of tea. So the young fellow with me was so tickled. And for months after I met him, he's left the island now. He'd say, have you seen Joan of Arc yet down on the breakwater? And also when I was on the Peel City Guardian, I also did Tinwald. That was quite fascinating too. And there again, I was a learner. I just didn't know anything about it. But I like to stay till the bitter end of those. I couldn't bear to, walk, go out. Because lots of them used to go home, at tea time. No, I can't do that. It's just too interesting. So that was quite good. So then, I've got to, but I've lost my notes now. Sorry. So I just enjoyed Tinwald. I used to get myself in a little corner and work. And of course I have obituaries. They still call me the obituary queen for the Guardian. And I was saying to Jane the other day when I talked to her, when you have obituaries, so often people have done so much that you didn't know about. You can't believe that all the things that you didn't know about them, it only comes out when they're dead. It was very nice to talk to Jane, who I knew didn't know one or two things about her beginnings, and she's alive, so that was I like that. That was nice. So it helps to be her. Of course, computers absolutely drove me crazy. They were absolutely dreadful, and we had a lot of big changes in the Guardian of the papers. Of course, there was the Star, the Examiner, and the Times. I can see somebody who's connected to the Times is looking at me now, and. Of course, everything went up in the thing because there was an incident in, I think it was the early 80s, when somebody offended Lord Cofield? And he was a friend of Mr. Dawes. And so it all blew up and everybody went on strike and it never was the same again. I never went back to that. I went to The Guardian after that, which was great fun because it was just starting up. Really, when Ian started up, and it was just really like an experiment. Nobody thought it was going to last and carry on. It was very, very good the way it did. But oh dear, these computers. I don't know. We had those terrible things. Got my notes all mixed up. So anyway, I can tell you where all the best feeds are in the country because, where it was just best for food, for... Dalby's very good, Kurt Michael's very good. I used to travel around. I just liked going to everything, really. I just enjoyed everything I did. Courts were great, but the rest, the social side was marvellous. It was nice to be welcomed everywhere. And it was just great. So what else can I tell you? Oh dear, I seem to have run out of my notes. What else did I do? Didn't do much sport, though. I did do some... When Dave Phillips was here, he did an awful lot for the kids, and he used to give me long phone calls, taking down everything that was. Every child had a mention, which was lovely. That used to take a long time on the phone, but I much preferred to do to work, seeing people rather than on the phone. I never liked telephones very much. I was just a learner in every direction. Really, I was a learner in Tinwald. I was a learner in court. I used to work with Charles Gard quite a lot. It was great fun. We got to Synod once, and it was at King William's College. And there was got to the front. We were put in the front of this great big long room, and it was totally irrelevant to anything that we wanted to put. It wouldn't make good material at all. It was totally irrelevant. So we were sitting there, and Charles had a book. Right, turn over, right. We couldn't get out. We were there till about 10:30 at night. It was absolutely dreadful. But, it was fun, really. I enjoyed it. I just loved it. I really did. And I don't know which was my favourite, but I think my Peel bits were my favourite bits because Peel has so much going for it. And there was a lot going on at the cathedral. We had the hallowing, of course, which was a tremendous ceremony. I was sitting next to the girl from the Courier, and we couldn't lift our arms because I got eight in the pew, we tried to take notes, but so somehow or other we managed it. And there was always something going on at school. I always enjoyed going up to QE2, I still do actually, when I can get up there. And I just loved talking to the young people and seeing what they're up to. They do so many things, it was great. It's become a wonderful school, and I can't believe my own grandchildren threw it out and nearly finished. I think it's gone, but I still do little bits for the Guardian, as you well know. And long live the Guardian! I mean, it's the only independent paper we have. The Ramsey Courier is gone. Everything else is taken over, run by Johnson Press. There's nothing nice left. So that's why we've got to hang on to the Guardian. Really, we have. We must hang on to the Guardian. Oh, sorry, I don't know. Does anybody want to ask anything? Or? If anybody wants to ask any questions, I might like to.
There's one thing, Jennifer. You mentioned Lord Caulfield.
Mm.
He actually ran the Examiner, did he?
Oh, no. Mr. Dawe ran the Examiner. He was a friend of Mr. Dawe's.
Oh,
Mr. Dawe bought the lot. That's Pam will tell you. he got the lot, and it ran, and it was really quite awful that one person was running three papers. But he was a personal friend. You see, this is the thing about offending people. If somebody offended Mr. Dawe, they didn't get mentioned in any of the papers. It was absolutely awful. And if they'd given you a banned list, it wouldn't have been so bad. But they waited until you'd done all this work, and then you know, seeing this in, it was really awful. But that's how it worked. It was. So then everything, after the big strike, it all came, fell to pieces. And then it was sort of revamped. And it was a long time before I went back. I finished The Guardian, because we were going away for a long holiday. And eventually I went back. I couldn't stay away. I really couldn't. Eddie was urging me to go back to work, because he was sick of me at home. And I really must finish by saying, that I couldn't have done any of it without Eddie. He was so supportive, right from the start. He bought me my first typewriter and said it was the stupidest thing he ever did, but that was even really joking. He liked to come to things with me, and then we would, I was typing, I've typed for all hours sometimes, but he had the attic where he made his boats, and I was on the next floor typing away. And there we were, quite happy night after night. And he'd come down about 10 o'clock and put the kettle on. And quite often there was a shout from downstairs, "If you hurry up, the fire's ready for toast." So we'd go down and have toast. I still make toast, but it doesn't taste the same somehow anymore. But he was very, very supportive and very patient. As I said, he was very great and good. And of course, there were lots of things in the commissioners. I was just looking. Well, somebody knows we're trying to clear the attics, and we're finding all these pictures and things going on. And I remember a big scout festival that was held up at Balliwillian, and it was like Monday, it poured and poured and poured, and we're all sitting there, big umbrellas and so on. And the Mayor of Birmingham and his wife were the guests of honour. We were all absolutely soaked, we met them next day in the town hall, and there were various ceremonies and so on. And I just found among all these things, I was rooting through the attic, a lovely Christmas card from the Lord Mayor of Birmingham saying how much they'd enjoyed the Peel hospitality. It was great getting involved. Of course, there was Victorian Week, of course, that was another big, I never saw home. We were just out. There was so much going on in Victorian Week. There were events all the time, all day, all evening, every evening. The beginning ones were absolutely wonderful. And shop windows to report on in, and all these competitions and things. Fantastic. Good days, very good days. And I miss them. I miss them very much. And I enjoy what I do for The Guardian, but I do miss it. I think I've gone on long enough now. So thank you for listening.